Spirit Radio Podcasts.
North Korea is never far from the news headlines. However, there was a gesture of unity recently between North Korea and South Korea as the two nations marched together under one flag at the recent Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang. Is change really happening in North Korea? In studio now to tell us more, we have David Turner, director of the Irish charity Church in Chains. David, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rob. Good to be here.
First of all, David, you know, can you talk to us about North and South Korea and the significance of the recent opening ceremony at the Winter Olympics?
Yes, indeed. It was quite remarkable to see the athletes from the two countries marching together under the one flag. It's a white flag, and it has the map of the whole Korean peninsula outlined, I think, in blue. And as far as I could make out, no border shown. So, you know, North Korea, South Korea, you know, we perhaps could identify this with them living on this island, seeing the whole thing as one unit. So many people do. And, you know, it was that there would be family memories going back to when Korea was united. And so there's a great desire, I think, in the hearts of the South Korean people and the North Korean people to be united, to be together. And so it was great to see. And, you know, looking at the news, even just overnight, pictures coming out of North Korea showing Kim Jong-un hosting a dinner for a South Korean delegation. It's the first time they've had talks for over 10 years like that. So nobody quite knows what they've been talking about. Yeah. And in many ways, I think it's most people seem to think it's talks about talks.
Yeah.
But still, it's a sign of openness. It's a sign of hope.
Talks about talks is a beginning.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yeah, so,
yeah, I very good. Did you see any of the official cheerleaders at the during the Winter Games? I don't know if you saw any of them, but the North Korean cheerleaders at the side of the ice hockey rink, they were something to behold, I tell you now.
Right, I missed that part. I did enjoy some of the Winter Olympics, but I missed that part.
Yeah, very good. Well, following this, do you think there's a positive movement of change taking place in North Korea? I mean, okay, well, you've just mentioned that dinner. What are human rights like right now in North Korea?
Yeah, well, I suppose we know a little bit more because there's been a new report just published by our friends in Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Mm-hmm. They have interviewed many North Korean defectors. They've interviewed many people active in the South Korean intelligence service. They've done their best to find out as much as they can from North Korean people. And, you know, the key message coming out from that report is that although the regime hasn't changed, the people are changing and there's increasing access to the outside world. So, you know, for instance, the actual report, it's an unusual title for a human rights report. It's called Movies, Markets and Mass Surveillance.
Okay.
So the movies relates to the fact that North Korean people are gaining greater access to the outside world. And a lot of that is in the form of entertainment. But that, too, kind of shows a picture for people living in a closed society of what an open society looks like. The markets part of that title relates to the fact that there's increasingly a certain amount of free enterprise happening and you know, people being able to set up small businesses, mainly sole traders, but something that would have been unheard of, you know, a decade or so ago, and that's being allowed to happen. But mass surveillance continues.
Yeah.
You know, everybody is kept under under close surveillance, and everybody that our friends in CSW spoke to when preparing this report, everybody said there is no religious freedom in the country. So the situation on the ground for people who have any faith other than faith in the regime is as difficult as it has ever been.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Well, look, moving on, can you update us on the Church and Chains Lent Prayer Project? I mean, this is something that you've launched again this year. How's it going?
Yes, indeed. We're encouraged that Christians in Ireland have caught the vision for this, and that people are really getting involved. People pray in so many different ways. But a lot of people would pray for family, for friends, for situations that concern them. We'd pray for their own church. And, you know, it's been great. We've just been encouraging people. We know you're praying for all these concerns that are on your heart. Will you each day during Lent pray for one Christian prisoner around the world? So, for example, this week, we're encouraging people to pray for Kim Jong-uk. And he's in prison in North Korea. He's a South Korean Christian. He was a missionary. He followed God's call and he went to China. He set up a center in Dandong, which is literally across the river. There's a bridge you can go across from Dandong into North Korea. So he ministered to North Korean refugees, and he was doing that for quite a long time. But some North Korean government agents infiltrated his network. They tricked him into traveling into North Korea, supposedly to visit some people whom he'd previously helped. And then he was arrested back in October 2013. So we're talking 4.5 years ago. He was put on a show trial, accused of trying to overthrow the regime, and sentenced to life imprisonment. So he hasn't, in those whole 4.5 years, he hasn't been able to speak to his wife or family. So, you know, a man in circumstances that you and I maybe can't really understand. So he's our prisoner for prayer this week. Yeah. And, you know, for instance, if we the way we organize the prayer diary is we have 7 prayer points for the 7 days of the week. So, you know, today we're asking people to pray for his witness to guards and other prisoners.
Yeah, fantastic.
You know, he's
the mission goes on. Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah. And, you know, it's part what we call Christians in Ireland here to do is just get behind and support our brothers and sisters who are in persecuted situations. Yeah. And just to pray God's blessing into their lives so that they will continue to serve him in these desperate circumstances.
Yeah. Now, Dave, I'm just going to stop you there and say, if people haven't had a chance to join in this Lent prayer project yet, but they're listening to us today and say, I'd like to be a part of that, what can they do?
Okay, simply go to our website, churchandchains.ie, and on the homepage, you'll see a section titled Lent Prayer Project. You click on that, it will open up a page, and the prisoners that are featured in the Lent Prayer Project are there. So you will see a picture of Kim Jong-uk for week 3, because that's this week. And just click on the prayer profile and you'll have the information and the prayer points for that. And, you know, if you're a person who would like to have a printed magazine in front of you rather than just access it via the internet, just get in touch with our office. Ring our office 01-282-5393, and we'd be delighted to send out.
Send one out. Yeah. Fantastic. I mean, what a great thing to take on in this season of Lent. That's just fantastic. Okay, so can you give us an update on Pakistan? I mean, I know that going back, I think in our earliest conversations, David, we spoke about Asia Bibi. Tell me, how are things going there?
Yes, indeed. Asia Bibi has been in prison since 2009. So, as you say, we've spoken many times here at Spirit about her case. And there have been a couple of developments, maybe 3 things to tell you about. One is that we have heard that she is in good health and in good spirits. She had a recent visit from her family. So, you know, that is good to know, because as you'll recall, she's in solitary confinement. She has faced threats of being poisoned, so she prepares her own food. But it must be a very isolated situation. But it is encouraging that the second thing is that the European Union's envoy for relations with countries outside the EU in particular to promote religious freedom. He has just come out and said that if Pakistan wants to renew their trading agreement with the EU, they're going to have to release Asia Bibi.
Ooh.
So that is a big thing.
That's a huge thing now,
you know,
surely.
So, you know, the Pakistani government now is under notice that if they want that, and that's very important to them, because a lot of Pakistani exports come to the EU, and the EU has just clearly said they've linked the renewal of this to the release of Asia Bibi.
Wow.
So, you know, that is an encouraging move in the political arena.
Yeah.
And then just two or three weeks back, there was a very symbolic move in Rome. You might have seen pictures of the Colosseum going red.
I might have seen that. Tell us about it now.
Yes. The Colosseum, which, of course, is famous for the fact that, you know, many early Christians were martyred there. That was turned red one Saturday night. And it was turned red in solidarity with persecuted Christians today around the world, but with a special focus on Asia Bibi. And the reason for that was that her husband, Ashik, and daughter Isham were both present in Rome. They had travelled to Rome. They'd been invited to travel to Rome. And they were able to have a short meeting with Pope Francis. And they were able to speak to a crowd gathered at the Colosseum. Yeah. So it just raises the profile again. And we continue. We were praying for Asia Bibi in the Lent Prayer Project last week. Yeah. And we continue to pray and to work for her release.
Yeah. Well, look, David, I know many people have been working for her release. But let me say to you, well done for keeping the pressure up and keeping her in the spotlight, because that's important. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Look, David Turner, director of the Irish charity Church in Chains, thank you so much for speaking to us today. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.